From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. No proof has emerged that Iraq had stockpiles of chemical weapons before the U.S. invasion a year ago. But there's no question that Saddam Hussein ordered the extensive use of chemical weapons during the Iran-Iraq War of the 1980s. Almost from the beginning, Iraq used mustard gas and later nerve gas that proved effective in stalling Iranian offensives. 10,000 Iranians are believed to have died in these attacks. And 16 years after the war ended, that chemical warfare continues to claim lives. NPR's Mike Schuster visited Tehran and spoke with some of the victims.
Mohammad Shegef Nakai comes often to his doctor's office at the Labafinejad Medical Center in Tehran. Since the Iran-Iraq War, this hospital has specialized in the treatment of chemically wounded patients. Mohammed was a member of the Basiji volunteer militia fighting on Faw Peninsula near Basra in 1986, when his unit was hit by mustard gas at night while they slept. He carries around a photo taken of him after the attack. It shows his face severely burned, his eyes weeping and swollen shut. Today, his cough is chronic.
In this picture, even they have taken two skins out of my face. I was burned.
By 1986, Iraq had been using chemical weapons against Iranian troops for at least 4 years, and the Iranians had been able to outfit their frontline forces with some chemical protection.
We had masks, but we didn't know that they're going to send chemical weapons. And after they heated us, the mask was under the devastation and we couldn't get it.
Out of 54 soldiers in Mohammed's unit, half were killed.
They didn't die at the same day. 3 days after, one by one started dying.
And they keep on dying today. At 41, Mohammed suffers from degenerative lung disease, and he is nearly blind from cornea ulceration, both the lasting effects of exposure to mustard gas. Mohammed's physician, Dr. Hamid Sorabpour, is a specialist in treating chemically wounded patients. Many of them suffer, he says, from chronic bronchitis and lung fibrosis, a terminal disease.
In fact, so far there has been no treatment for this kind of casualties and for this kind of injuries, and patients are continuing to suffer. I hope that we never witness such a tragic event in the world in the future.
Experts in Iran say that 100,000 soldiers were exposed to chemical weapons during the 8 years of the Iran-Iraq War. 10,000 of them were killed. There are no estimates of how many have died in the years since. The Iraqis started out with mustard gas, which had not been used extensively on the battlefield since World War I. Iraq had purchased the chemical elements and production facilities from companies in the United States and Europe, and initially the international community overlooked its use of chemicals on the battlefield because there was little sympathy for Iran, widely viewed at that time as the greater threat to stability in the Persian Gulf. By 1984, though, the reports of Iraq's chemical warfare could not be ignored, and the U.S., Great Britain, France, and Japan banned the sale of chemicals to Iraq. But by that time, Iraq had acquired the industrial capacity to produce its own, and that included deadly nerve agents such as tabin and sarin, according to documentary filmmaker Nader Talibzadeh, whose five-part series on chemical warfare, Silent Cry, was aired on Iranian TV 4 years ago.
By the end of the war, Saddam was using a mixture of different chemical weapons. At the very end of the war, in Fav Island, they used heavily mustard gas, and we lost a lot of troops.
In fact, in some intelligence assessments at the time, the CIA concluded that Iraq's chemical attacks were a decisive factor in the war in persuading Iran to negotiate an end to it. Iraq put chemical weapons in artillery and mortar shells, bombs and rockets, and sprayed them from helicopters. Nader Talibzadeh was filming near the front lines when Iraq first used chemical weapons, and he experienced chemical attack twice later on. Fortunately, he has experienced no long-term effects from his exposure to chemical weapons. His friend, cameraman Reza Borji, has, but that's still a mystery. Borji was filming in an Iraqi Kurdish village in 1988 when it was hit with nerve gas. This was a month before the infamous Iraqi attack on Halabja, in which more than 5,000 Kurdish civilians died. Borji is in the hospital at present. He suffers from chronic and debilitating joint pain.
It's growing. I mean, the period growth from 1 week to 2 weeks to 2 months. But now, for the last 2 years, it's continuous. In the last 2 years, I all the time have the pain.
Borgi believes this must be an effect of the chemical attack. But Dr. Sorapour says it has not been conclusively proven that survivors of nerve gas suffer long-term effects as survivors of mustard gas do.
If somebody is saved from the nerve gas attacks, then in long run, they don't have that much of a problem, unless some psychological problems they may have. But physically, if they get cured, then later on they don't have long-term problems.
Whether physically or psychologically, it is clear that thousands of Iranians continue to suffer from Iraq's use of chemicals on the battlefield long after these weapons of mass destruction have become such a controversial issue in the United States. Mike Schuster, NPR News.